I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Gautam Sharma, CISO of Excel Tech Consulting Group and founder of Access Cyber. Access Cyber is an initiative dedicated to preparing the next generation of digital defenders. To learn more about Access Cyber, visit accesscyber.org. Gautam, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
Hillary, thank you. Very excited to be here, and I've been looking forward to doing this.
Oh, great. Well, to get us started, share with us a little about what led you to founding Access Cyber.
Yeah, absolutely. So you absolutely hit the nail on the head. We're an initiative that's really trying to focus and help people who are either changing careers into security. They're hearing about it, hearing the numbers, a lot of those numbers coming out from you guys over at Cybercrime Magazine, about what the industry looks like. And they're trying to get their foot in the door. The salary looks good. All those things look good. The work seems interesting. And it is, at least I think so. And people are trying to figure out, how do we get in? How do we break into this field? So Access Cyber is, a while ago, we realized that there's a lot happening on the cybersecurity education front, for career prep, for veterans, for women, nonprofits. They're doing a ton of great work. Private training schools are doing good work. What I was seeing is that there wasn't a lot of, a lot of these things were operating in silos. What we've done is try to figure out how we can connect the person who wants to learn to the right resource for them. And that's really where Access Cyber comes in.
Okay, great. And to build on that, some of that data that you mentioned, Cybersecurity Ventures has predicted that the cyber talent gap will be around 3.5 million unfilled jobs at the beginning of 2021. So what are you seeing both as a CISO and as the founder of Access Cyber?
Yeah, I think those numbers are, I haven't done my own research, but I trust the numbers you guys put out. I share those with people and I'm constantly going to them for my own research. So I trust those numbers and kudos to you all for figuring those numbers out. Not an easy task, I imagine. So the way I'm thinking about this is there is still a struggle to fill those roles and find the ideal candidate. When I talk to recruiters and other hiring managers, the way I think about it is when a job requirement comes out, that's the ideal, you know, a company's wish list for a candidate, right? Oftentimes they're aware they're not going to find that, but they can try. So still a challenge when we put out job descriptions, and we encourage other organizations to do the same. Don't just keyword stuff those job descriptions. It's easy to copy and paste from other organizations, but don't keyword stuff them. And realize that sometimes the job descriptions we put out are, that might not be even one person, right? I mean, there might be three or four people. So if we are more, I guess, realistic with our expectations and candidates, I think we'll be fine. But also, more and more organizations are creating a culture of coaching people who maybe don't have all the skill sets, but they're coming in with some knowledge, and we're going to meet them where they are and help them find and understand and discover their interests in whatever area of cybersecurity they're interested in, but also to bridge the gap between what they don't know and what we need them to know, right? So still a challenge, but I think there's a lot of better companies coming up with better culture internally to help train security folks.
And that's a really nice segue into my next question for you, which is, what does the security industry need from a career education perspective to help close that gap, especially for the diversification of talent from a background standpoint, where maybe they're not from a traditional cybersecurity background, but they have tools that are really, you know, valuable and will implement quite nicely once they're kind of ramped up and in their role?
Right. No, that's a great question. A couple things I'm thinking about as you're asking that question. One is, almost anything that you're doing now, if someone is looking to change into cybersecurity, whatever they're doing now, I would say figure out what the parallels are between that role and sort of what you'd be doing in security, right? So there's always parallels that you can draw. There's always experience that you can leverage from other roles. So really assessing your own skill set, that matters. Obviously, if you're coming from a technical role, it'll be sort of an easier climb to get to the security world, because there is a ton of overlap, right? Security isn't just a purely a technical discipline, and we talk about this all the time, but it's people who are coming from technology have almost been trained to think in a way that's conducive to this. That's not to say that you can't come from a role, say, in retail or in finance or doing something else, and then transition to cybersecurity. Almost the opposite. There's so much material out there, either courses, labs, hands-on work that you can do. You mentioned Access Cyber. We've listed a lot of that on there, accesscyber.org. really kind of resources for people to look at and say, hey, where am I? What's my knowledge? Do kind of a self-assessment in their skills and then figure out how can I get where I need to be? Here's a job description. Here's a company I really want to work at. What do I need to know to get there? The great thing about the industry and maybe the not so great thing about the industry, Hillary, is that I meet people and I talk to people every day who work in this industry, but some of them are college dropouts, some are military veterans, some are PhDs, some are graduate students. There's really no, this isn't like a, do X, Y, and Z and you'll work in security, right? And that's both a good thing, but it's also kind of challenging for people who don't have that blueprint of what do I need to do, who prefer to be handed some sort of, a guide, the way we do in a lot of other traditional careers, right? You want to be a doctor, go to med school, here you go, right? We don't really have that in the security space. And so the beauty of that is you can kind of figure out your own path, but it does require some effort. It does require some lifting on the individual's part. We have a ton of communities. There's so much going on in the security community from, women in SEC, veterans in security, so much that's going on to support different types of groups that are working to increase the diversity that we mentioned earlier, and that are really kind of helping people get into this field. So there's a lot of that going on, but it is still sort of a build your own path or choose your own adventure type piece to it. The second thing I'll say on that is not all the roles in cybersecurity are technical, right? We know this. The compliance is important, the GRC is important, the training is important, all these pieces matter, and they all work together to make sure an organization is secure. The one thing I do say is that if someone has a background in understanding the technology, it's just going to help you out in any role you go down, right? In security. It's not every role is technical, obviously, but having that foundation and understanding it doesn't have to be, you don't have to become a programmer to work in this field, and we know this, but having some understanding of the technical, if a breach happens, right? Understanding what actually happened, right? You're reading about a breach, what's the details? Do you understand everything that happened at every level? That's important. And I think that's going to serve folks well in sort of any career in security and even beyond. The way you think about this adversarial, there's a very clear target. We're preventing cybercrime. We're preventing issues that arise from the technology we deploy, right? Thinking about that. How do we secure something? How do we tighten something? That way of thinking leads to, I think, progress in a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. And speaking of the, choose your own adventure career path. In your opinion and experience, does mentorship play an important role in getting, attracting new talent into the cybersecurity industry? And if so, how can more cybersecurity professionals become mentors and identify mentees?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think mentorship is huge, right? You can't be what you can't see, right? It's sort of this catchy phrase I heard a while ago and it's kind of stuck with me. And it's so important to have someone who's kind of going up that path, who's a little bit ahead of you, that can guide you in that sense. And people struggle, right? It's a weird question to ask somebody, will you be my mentor? Right. It's kind of awkward. And I get that. Right.
Yeah.
When I was in school, they were like, yeah, find a mentor. Just, ask people to be your mentor. It's not a little, you want to be conscious of someone else's time. I don't know what you have going on in your life. And I don't want to just kind of attach myself to you and then say, now mentor me, right? When I don't even know what that means, when I'm really not sure what I'm looking for. So I think what makes that process easier is if you start off, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I joke that I live on LinkedIn because I do. It's open all the time. And I'm always reading stuff and posting stuff. But mentorship doesn't have to be, you sit down with somebody, they're talking to you. And it can be sort of you're following the right people on LinkedIn. Huge security community on LinkedIn. InfoSec community on Twitter. There are people who are kind of putting out some great ideas, some great thoughts. And what that does is it can kind of help you see, hey, I like this type of thing, right? I can gravitate more to that. A number of great folks that are putting out things. There's all kinds of forums now. Again, coming back to women in cyber and veterans forums and for minorities. So many places where you can kind of just hang out. You don't have to contribute initially, right? But you can just kind of hang out and learn and absorb what's happening. So mentorship, I think we have to rethink that mentorship, what the relationship of a mentor-mentee looks like. It's not one-to-one, it's one community to one individual, right? And vice versa. The other thing I'll add to that is it's also important to kind of think about how we can give back, right? Sometimes early in our careers, we think, I don't know enough to give back, or I'm not experienced enough, or I don't have a job to give somebody. What can I give somebody? sometimes it's helpful to see someone who's just maybe a block ahead of you, not a mile ahead, just a couple of feet ahead of you, you know, because you've seen the journey and you can kind of turn around and offer help to somebody else. I think both things go hand in hand. Whatever stage of your career you're in, I think there's someone who is behind you. So it's sort of our responsibility to send the elevator back down when we make it to our destination.
That's great. And speaking of people finding their paths, what else do aspiring security professionals need to consider and know about careers in cybersecurity?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the biggest thing is, what does cybersecurity mean? What does it mean to work in cybersecurity? And that means different things for different people. Either from a motivation perspective, why is this interesting? I have a lot of friends who have always kind of been interested in like crime shows, crime TV shows. And so that, and then with law enforcement and seeing how law enforcement, obviously it's portrayed horribly wrong a lot of times on like Hollywood has not gotten it right yet. I mean, they're trying, but it feels like we're way off from that.
Yeah.
But I hate being that guy when I'm watching something with friends. I hate being the guy pointing out that's not how it works. What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm hacking into the mainframe. That's not right. I'm the one pointing out the technical inaccuracies. The way I think about, so cybersecurity, figuring out like where you want to be in cybersecurity, right? Do you want to go down a heavily technical route? Do you not care for soup being, you know, knee deep in the technology? Figuring out like what is the role that you like to be. And I saw this on in Cybercrime Magazine a while ago, where it was just this list of all the different roles in cybersecurity. And I think that's such a valuable piece because just saying I work in cybersecurity doesn't mean anything, right? If you went to a conference and you work in cybersecurity, what does that mean?
Right.
People have some vague sense of it, but anyone who's in the industry is going to say, what does that mean? What do you do in cybersecurity? So figuring out what are your interests exactly and what roles kind of best fit those. Looking at job descriptions, there's a ton of people on YouTube who've put like sort of a day in the life of a SOC analyst, for example, or day in the life of a pen tester, right? Figuring out who are those people and figuring out what that job description entails. And if you're willing to put in the time to learn those skills, if you're willing to put in the time to earn the certifications, to do the trainings, whatever that entails for that particular job role and from wherever you're coming from. So that matters. And then I'm going to tie this together with a mentorship piece. If you identify a role that's interesting to you, say you want to be a pen tester, you can kind of, LinkedIn communities, security community, pretty friendly for the most part. We don't bite. InfoSec Twitter, again, LinkedIn community on LinkedIn cybersecurity community. Most people are pretty friendly. If you message them with just some sort of question, right? I think most people are very happy to point you in the right direction or offer advice or even spend 10, 15 minutes talking to you, like a Zoom call, like this quick Zoom call or something, right? Obviously be mindful of other people's time. And if you're seeking that kind of mentorship, I would say have a structured ask, right? Don't say, can you help me?
Yeah.
Or come out there and say, do you know of a job opening? Is there a job opening at your company? Because that feels spammy. That feels kind of that you're just looking at a very transactional relationship, right? It's about building these relationships to a point where now this is when a job opening does show up, I'm going to think of you, right? You've shared what you can do with me. You've shared your background with me, your experiences. And it's really about starting that conversation, which is the hardest part. So if we can figure out, people are looking for mentorship, we can figure out how to, what is it that we're looking for when we say we need help, right? And we can solidify that ask and structure it well. I think that goes a long way. And then conversely, people are always posting on LinkedIn, asking for help as well, right? So when you see those, to the more seasoned security pros out there, definitely reach out. Something as simple as liking someone's search for a job or sharing it goes a long way. We, through the power of LinkedIn algorithms and social media algorithms, that goes a long way. And just kind of give, because the other part is sometimes if we talk to somebody and talk about what the industry is, they might say, hey, this might not be for me. And then we're doing them a favor in that case too, right? Sure, we can help and guide, but if we can give them a sense of what security is and someone says, hey, that might not be for me, we've done them a favor. We've saved them several years of their life where they might have pursued this path and then figured out that it wasn't for them, right? So there's multiple levels of mentorship.
Yeah, that's really insightful. That's great. And kind of not quite switching subjects, but a little bit, like there's still a lot of work to be done as far as diversifying talent, something that we talk about with lots of guests. But do you think that we're at least seeing some improvements with diversifying talent, and why or why not?
Yeah, I think we are, a lot of organizations are, we have to figure out, and not pointing anyone out, but we have to figure out which are the organizations that are just kind of posting on social media and saying we value diversity.
Yeah.
And which ones are the ones kind of talking the talk, right? Because it's kind of cool right now to say, yes, diversity is big and, right. and we want more women working for us, right? But if you're not, if behind the scenes you're not actively making enough to recruit those types of people, you're just kind of doing it for the likes on LinkedIn or yeah. Twitter or whatever. And that's kind of a moot effort. That being said, I think the organizations that are figuring it out and that are actually committed to this are doing the part. They are kind of employee resource groups are a big one, right? Figuring out internally at a company, what are we doing? What can we do to make this a working culture that's comfortable to minorities, to women? And then are we actually sourcing from the places where they are, right? Are we going to women's organizations? Are we going to veterans organizations? Are we actively looking to, are we recruiting from historically Black colleges and universities? So it really matters. All of those things matter. I will say it, again, anecdotally, I don't have, data beyond, what I've experienced and what I've seen in conversations I've had with senior security executives, but it's, everyone's kind of making a push to do it, people that are committed to it sincerely. And it all comes back down to the people that we're trying to recruit and for the sake of diversity and, well, not for the sake of diversity itself, but are we equipping them with the resources so that they can actually find roles in this industry, right? So it goes back to that, a lot of it, right? Community colleges. Do community colleges, are we making sure that there are cybersecurity programs at community colleges, for example? Neighborhoods that maybe are under-resourced, are we doing something to help the schools in that neighborhood, right? Are we helping, how early are we starting? Are we starting at the middle school level, elementary school, high school? Because we know that there's a disconnect in the level of education, the type of education that good neighborhoods and neighborhoods that have economic disadvantages receive, right? There's a disconnect. And so we have to figure out how to resolve that. So the issues are a lot deeper than how do we get more diversity in cybersecurity. It's how do we solve some of the challenges that have been plaguing the education system for many years and the workforce development system for many years. Sorry for the long tangent. I'm just thinking out loud here with you.
Yeah,
this is just a lot of different thoughts. But I think the organizations are committed to it, are making an effort, and we are seeing some more diversity, right? There are women in senior security roles that I'm always excited to chat with and see, because it's nice to see that they've made that journey and that the culture is being created, at least at their organizations, to support them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it you made me kind of recall something you said earlier in our conversation, which was about job descriptions. And I've been reading a lot on LinkedIn as well. I'm probably on there not, a good amount of time. There's just so much on there. It's jam packed. But I've been reading a lot about how lots of the ways that job descriptions are written kind of automatically restrict the types of people that they're going to attract, whether it's background based or, financially based, whatever. It's automatically like disqualifying them and making them not want to apply for that job. And I think that's something that I'm going to have my antennas up for, is like seeing if job descriptions actually kind of change from what you kind of labeled as like the buzzwords, and making sure that we're kind of, they're crossing the T's, dotting the I's, or, more holistically, what are we looking for?
Yeah, it's subtle, right? You hit it on the head. It's very subtle. It doesn't have to be explicitly disqualifying anybody, but there are things like, there are a lot of things that will help disqualify people. It's not as subjective as, women don't apply. No one's going to go out and say that, no. Right? But you can kind of put in words that'll, exact to your point, kind of discourage certain groups from applying, right? And that's the reality of it.
And you've had so much great advice, but is there anything else that you think our listeners would benefit from knowing, especially those who may be exploring new career paths? We are at a moment in time where things are changing for lots of folks in their careers and their career paths. So now could be a good time for them to consider something in cyber.
Yeah, absolutely. the biggest thing is figuring out first and foremost sort of your learning style, right? Some people have the dedication, the discipline, the commitment to sit and kind of the luxury, let's say, to sit and self-study for hours on end, right? I personally can't learn that way. That's not, I need to be in the classroom sometimes. I need to be doing things. That's not necessarily, that's the way I learn. So the biggest thing is figuring out your learning style, figuring out how you learn, and then getting a sense of the industry. Talk to a lot of people, right? We talked about this mentorship piece again. Talk to a lot of people, understand, is this the direction you want your career to go? Is it interesting to you? Because if it's not interesting to you, it's just going to feel like a chore, right? I mean, I love this industry. I think it's a lot of fun. Even when it's anxiety inducing and challenging, I've kind of stuck through it, which gives me the sense that, you know, a lot of people in that boat who are riding out the wave, kind of they're in it for the right reasons. And so as much as we need good people in this industry, I don't want folks coming in if it's not for them, or if it's going to be a challenge, or it's going to be annoying, or if it's not something they want to do, right? So we need people who, we need good people, and we need people to, who are interested in this and who are going to enjoy it and who are going to kind of really identify as being a cybersecurity professional.
Well, Gotham, thank you so much for joining us. This has been really great. And I think our listeners are really going to benefit from, your perspective, your experience, and your honesty. I think that's really, really great.
Sure. Hillary, thank you so much. This was fantastic. I hope this was useful.
Absolutely. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Gotham Sharma, CISO of Exeltech Consulting Group and founder of Access Cyber. Access Cyber is an initiative dedicated to preparing the next generation of digital defenders. To learn more about Access Cyber, visit accesscyber.org, and you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.